From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on a gloriously snowy day. Well, I can tell you outside, if you live in Old Money, it's about 2 foot up the side of my car. That's sort of not, well, about half a metre-ish, something like that. The roads are all open, the airport's open, the trains are running, but we'll come to that in greater detail when we find out who can't make things work across the rest of Europe. My name's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in a little town called Poprad, hence the name of the programme, and it's the alternative news show all across the world. Normally we go over and see Lee Banks, but he's suffering from man flu. But I think it is actually the first show he's ever missed. So not to worry, get well soon, Lee, but we'll bypass him and just rip him rottenly right the way through the show, because I know he'll listen, and go straight to the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group in Paris, Mark Gander.
Yes, hello there. And in fact, I've managed to miss the last three shows. I'm very sorry about that. But I understand it's snowing in most of Europe. In Paris, it's grey, not snowing at all, but very, very cold. And instead of the crunching of snow underfoot, you can hear and feel the crunching of the dog's poo underfoot.
Oh,
it's lovely.
Gross. And I'll get it right this time. In the upper parts, the upper echelons of Australia, that's his Queensland, it's young Rachel.
Hello.
Hello, dear. How are you?
I'm melting.
You should... excuse me, darlings. Now, I can tell you, boys and girls, Rachel's not exactly a larger lady. If I was going shopping for her, it would probably be an 8 to 10 size in English money. And you know how these girls always moan that they've got a bigger bottom? Well, don't worry about it, Rach. If you're basking in the sun, it'll all go... and you're just getting a free makeover.
You're right. I am dehydrating and shrinking as we speak.
Yeah. You're shrinking.
It's very, very, very hot.
We'll come to the hotness and coldness, if that's grammatically right. No, it's not. In a little while. I'd like to say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and, of course, you folks on Audio Boo and on just about everywhere else, and you wonderful folks on RTI. Must say hello to the guys at Billa in Poprad, who were having a chat to me this morning, believe it or not, about the programme, and one gentleman showed me the Spreaker app that he's got on his mobile phone so he can listen to us every week. So hi, guys down there. Good luck with getting everybody to use the cards. They were trying to get people to sign up to loyalty cards, and that's about as possible with me as me doing surgery, because I just forget them and lose them.
Me too.
Do you really?
I do that. I have like 25 cards from the one store, because every time I go there, they give me a new one because I forget to take it.
There you go. Anyway, let's get started with the alternative news of the week. Oh, cynical me. I bet even Tesco's couldn't afford all this free comedy PR they're getting. They must be laughing all the way to the PR budgets. But funnily enough, they've actually taken full-page adverts out in newspapers apologising because... and get this, it's DNA that the Irish authorities, DNA, not me per se, DNA, that the Irish authorities found in some Tesco products. Right, but you eat horse meat in France?
Well, I don't eat it, but I mean, certainly there's a lot of horse butchers around.
Yeah.
Although I was looking this up on the internet, and it's not a long, long, long culture. Apparently, it's a culture that developed from the First World War.
Really?
When meat was very scarce, and the French started eating it then. But then they found it was so delicious, they couldn't stop. But in fact, so it's not really, you know, sort of ancient traditional cuisine. But I have to say, you know, culturally, most European countries, I think, don't particularly like horse meat or don't eat it, and I think particularly Anglo-Saxon countries don't, and I think it's a real shock, and I don't think this is good publicity for Tesco's. I'm sure they're not enjoying it.
I'm sure they're saying nay.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do some of those, some of your wonderful comments already coming in, but I was sent this by Harry, which is a Twitter clip from allegedly Tesco customer care the night before this all happened.
Yeah.
And it says, it's sleepy time, so we're off to hit the hay. See you at 8 a.m. for more, Tesco tweets. And then and Andrew, I don't know who Andrew is, has replied, "You're hitting the hay." Well, I suppose the poor horses don't need it anymore. Hashtag horseburger. to which Tesco's had to reply, "I'm terribly sorry. That tweet was scheduled before we knew of the current situation." That'll teach you, Tesco's, to schedule things when you're not there.
Mm-hmm. Schedule your jokes.
Yes,
be funny
exactly.
In an orderly fashion.
Yeah. Gary says he thinks it would cost Tesco's millions to get all of this PR. And I suppose Gary's basing it on the principle of any PR is good PR. And I suppose you're right there, actually, Gary. Yeah.
Well, it's probably very good for Tesco's in France. I mean, there is a Tesco's in Pas-de-Calais.
Is there?
I could imagine that the French will be flocking along there because I imagine that, you know, 30% horse in a beef burger is a lot cheaper than buying it on a horse butcher.
Yeah, well, hang on a minute. So, you know, supermarkets have been slagged for years for not having meat in their burgers.
Well, there's the meat. Where's the beef? Oh, yes, no. Where's the horse?
We don't have a Tesco here, and we've got our own problems. In light of the fact that it's Australia Day on January the 26th, one of the fast food chains has released a burger made out of kangaroo and emu, which is called the Kangamu, or as I call it, the Kangaroo. And we're eating our wildlife as well. So,
but emu's nice, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I've known a couple, and they seem fairly friendly, but I wouldn't want to eat one.
Anyway, Martin says, "I don't understand the big deal. It won't do any harm. It's low in fat, low in carbs, but high in sugar."
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes. I bet Mr. Ed is rolling in his grave. "I know that's a Lee joke, Eric. Ha, ha." Not this day. Not today. It's not, mate. What next? "My Lidl pony." Oh, no.
Oh, no.
They get worse.
Can I just say that? I mean, listen, I'll just to sort of divert this back to a slightly serious step here, because there's not only the issue of horse being discovered in these burgers, but also apparently pork products have been discovered in a lot of products. Now, I mean, you know, this has got to concern, for instance, the Muslim community and the Jewish community. Mm. And I would imagine that the Muslim community in particular is a community that you better take notice of, because if they feel that that they've actually been then transgressing some of their very, very important religious principles, I think you've got problems, serious problems.
I think that's why Tesco's...
I don't understand why anybody's been talking about this.
Well, I think that's why Tesco's did actually go to the lengths of apologising the way they did.
Yeah.
And I think had it been, you know, a uniquely... English country where we all laugh at each other, I don't think anybody would have made a big deal about it. But I think they've got to, because you know, the UK now is such a diverse community that you do little else. Anyway, I'm sorry, I've got to carry on. Martin's message ends with, "As part of a stable diet..."
Oh dear.
My God.
"It's a shame they won't be selling them for long." Furlong.
Furlong.
Furlong. Yeah.
Turn furlong. Oh, boy.
One for Rachel to read out, because it's a girly.
Oh, Kate. Is this Kate?
No, Caroline. Caroline.
Oh, Caroline. Caroline. See, I'm deaf and blind. I've been eating too much horse. Caroline. Cheap way of buying kids a pony.
Oh, ho, ho. And Tom, I believe that that even before the horse meat saga, there were burgers... Their burgers, their budget burgers, tasted like they were the dog's bleep.
What's it? Dog's what's it?
Yes, or as as we call them here, the poodle's nuts, because it's probably a safer way of doing it. I don't know. I think this is one of those things, and what worries me, and I think there's two sides to this, coming from a family that was in retail for a very long time. Yes, everything was cleaned up. Yes, everything was sanitised. Yes, everything was washed up and blah, 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 blah. But today, are we getting a bit too over the top when it comes to bulk purchase or bulk whatever they do with food preparation? Because we all want cheaper food, and yet everybody wants the same quality as if it came out of NASA.
You don't know what they're eating in NASA, do you? I mean, that's never been really good. But can I just say there's another thing that really I found very strange here, and that is that they've been referring all the time to horse DNA and pig DNA and not horse meat and pig meat. Now, somebody somewhere, you know, because they've had a big meeting, and somebody somewhere has decided, listen, we can make this look a lot better if we refer this as to DNA rather than meat, you know. But, I mean, let me ask Rachel. I mean, Rachel, you know, would you prefer to be covered in horse meat or in horse DNA? I have to say that when people talk about DNA samples from people, they're generally speaking not referring to meat, and I find this a very, very strange choice.
I absolutely 100% agree with you as for your question.
Yeah, but hold on a minute, guys. It wasn't Tesco's that used the phrase DNA. It was the food inspectors in Ireland.
Well, I can imagine it was negotiated.
Oh, you cynic! You're nearly as bad as me!
I'm quite sure that somebody's been talking and they've agreed what terms would be used to state the problem.
All right,
okay. They settled on DNA, and I have to say, I'd rather know that I was eating horse meat than horse DNA. Thank you very much.
Well, okay, I can see where you're going. It's the end of a long, slow, and painful death. His master's voice has gone down the tubes.
Poor old Nipper.
Yeah, Nipper. And to be honest, I don't miss listening to the tracks in the booths before buying them. It's much easier today. You go on the net, you listen to an example of a track, you decide if you want it. I'm not interested in the art cover. I only ever wanted the music. Vinyl's only warmer than an MP3 if you set fire to it. And it's a lot easier having your collection in something smaller than a 7-inch singles box. It's brilliant. I had to carry, years ago, I think at its worst, 4 boxes of 200 7-inch singles and 4 boxes of 12-inch singles into nightclubs and venues. That is back-breaking. That is back-breaking.
That's no good, that's no good.
No. So, this is the question, Mark and Rachel. Have you ever used HMV? Is the one down your way, Rachel? And if so...
It used to be a long time ago, but it went put...
All right.
Very long time ago.
Yeah. Mark?
Yes, I used the HMV, dare I say, in the 1960s.
Yeah, exactly. You used it.
When
I was a boy.
I had to go in and wind up the gramophones, you know. Yeah.
Ollie says, and I apologise, we seem to have a little bit of an internet problem, but we'll see if we can fix it with the guys. Ollie says, ain't nothing like dragging a container filled with rare LPs, though. My dad left me a lot of rares. Yeah, I suppose it's all right for a bit of anoracking. Steve says, Eric, I spent years taking vinyl and CDs to gigs, much before a hard drive. Lol. It's one of them. Eric, saying that, I still have a few boxes of vinyl. Yes, Mark.
My first vinyl album in HMVs, I think it was in 1964, and it was by the Mothers of Invention, Freak Out. It was amazing. I've still got it.
No, why?
Yeah. It can happen here.
You've obviously not been divorced like me. Anyway, John says, I reluctantly sold my vinyl a couple of years ago before the big move. John now lives in South America. After digitising it, so I still have the music, but there's never been a substitute for vinyl played on high-quality hi-fi. Don't start me, John. I can feel my blood pressure going up. Where CDs and MP3s score, apart from the portability, is they don't sound much worse when they're played on a cheap setup, whereas vinyl does. Ha, ha, ha! Oh, please, John. Oh, please, don't start me. I will tell you a quick story. Are you ready, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Picture the scene. Barbecue, summer, London. Man, what going on? He was going on about vinyl because he'd been into my studio, saw the record deck and said I was a good person because I got a record deck. And I went, you're having a laugh. It was in the very, very early days of MP3 players. And it wasn't one of the I versions either. So I put a version of Deep Purple's Child in Time onto said player. I then rummaged at the back of the studio and I stuck outside a 100-watt valve guitar amplifier. Much to the annoyance later of the neighbours. I plugged the MP3 player in and I held just so it was balanced on top, this record deck. I turned it on and we boomed in this very residential, very conservative with a small seat area, 100 watts in a big 18-inch speaker of Child in Time by Deep Purple. The floor was vibrating underneath me. He then shouts in my ear, because it's the only way he could get audio to me, "You see, I told you it was better on vinyl." I then lifted the record deck up and gave it to him, and it wasn't plugged in. He then said, "I didn't think it was real." Oh. In denial.
I smell pants on fire.
I can as well. Michael says, "I really can't say it comes as a great surprise, really. I've been expecting this to happen for 12 months. Only 12? Only 12? They never went digital. They were analogue. Kate says, "Oh, Kate's a long-standing friend of mine. Remember the Davrick Roadshow with fond memories?" That was mine. "And Stretley Village Hall, to name but one place. Come on, Eric, you can't deny they were the good days." They were the good old days at the time, Kate, and a kiss back to you. But today, I go to clubs, and I have done not that long ago, in Poprad and done schools out discos with two laptops. And I didn't have to get a bad back to do it.
Do you wear flares?
No.
Oh.
I wear my RTI T-shirt.
Right.
So, is it just because you get somebody else to carry these laptops?
No. But I can't go there because my other half might be listening. David Gilby. I agree. iPod mobiles and MP3s are a retrograde step. Really? I've got a 1962 Hitachi Pocket set that sounds better than an expensive mobile phone. Even MP4 leaves a lot to be desired. It's your hearing, all right, David. Harry, I have to agree with you on this one, Eric. Small, convenient, and fit loads onto a CD or DVD, and no pops and crackles. Hanging onto my vinyl, as I believe it might be worth a bit. Yes, absolutely, Harry. You can get idiots to pay loads of money for it now. You can. The Brighton Record Fair still exists, and you'll find 12-inch singles selling for £1,500, mate. Yeah. 15. How much is your record worth now then, Mark?
I was just wondering, actually. I might get around to selling it sometime. Yeah. But, it's still there.
Do you ever listen to it, though?
No, I listen to it. I listen to it digital.
Right, so you haven't touched the record.
I've also bought the CD.
Oh, right, then. Have you got vinyl, Rachel?
No.
That's a very rude question.
It wasn't. It was a.
I used to have a lot of vinyl, and actually, I do still have a few, but they're all stored at my mum's place. So.
Okie dokie. Anyway, moving along quickly, says the BBC Breakfast celebrates 30 years of waking up the UK. It's just a shame it's not in its rightful home television centre in London. Idiots moving it. Apparently it was Thursday the 17th of January when the BBC launched its breakfast show, including the team of Russell Grant and Deanna Maron, who was the fitness girl. And before that, of course, we never had breakfast telly. Now, I'm just going to probably get sort of hurt here because presumably, Rachel, you've always known breakfast television.
Yes, always.
Always?
Well, no. It started in the 80s, I think. It was the first recollection I have of a breakfast TV show.
Right. I'll tell you what, we're gonna call you back, Rachel, because your connection's really horrible. So don't go away. Stay there. Just cancel that one out. Mark, what's your earliest memories of breakfast TV?
Well, we never had breakfast TV. I mean, it was always the BBC Home Service. Or was it the light programme? I don't know, on Saturday, it was Uncle Mac.
No! Hello, you're back. I can't believe that. Really weird. Because I remember breakfast television starting, and there was two things. First of all, the commercial network applied to the regulator to have a breakfast show. And it was, you know, a big thing in the newspapers that they were going to do, which, of course, told the BBC that they were going to do this show. So the BBC went, ooh, all right. And so they managed to launch their show a couple of weeks before the commercial television one.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing was that the BBC breakfast show was casual shirts, no ties, jumpers, very relaxed, lots of fun. They had horoscopes with Russell Grant. They had the Keep Fit Lady and all this sort of stuff. The commercial television version was Sir somebody or other, and it was all very highbrow and let's bring you the news in the morning before you go to work. And everybody went, I don't like that. And the whole commercial network nearly went bust over it. And so they had to go back and start all over again. And the fact is that it's another case of where one lot of highbrow audience decided, we know what to do, when the public said, don't care, not interested, don't want to know. Silence from the prevailing two. Come on, Mr. Mark, what do you listen to in the morning?
Well, I listen to Radio 4. I mean, I've always been against, I don't know why, I don't know why, but I feel I'm against television in the morning. But anyway, it gets in my way. I just like to have the radio on the background. I can potter around, do what I need to do, check my emails, do a bit of work, get the kids ready. And I don't think I could handle breakfast television, actually.
Really?
Yeah. For me, it feels like an evening thing, television. And I don't want it in the morning. I want it in the evening when I'm sitting down, relaxed, and I know it's the end of the day. Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
I treat television like radio. I've got to have it on in the background so I can hear noise.
Yeah, I can understand that, Rachel.
No. I don't buy that at all. I'm sorry. no, I'm sitting here listening to these people going, I don't understand this. In the mornings, I watch breakfast television of various types so that I can get, because typically they run on 15-minute segments in the morning, so I can get a huge blast of news in 15 minutes and then get on with my life.
See, that means what I'm saying. I mean, I always have it on, and I have it on because I work from home, so I have it on the entire day so that I can just hear noise.
Yeah.
But is that radio, except, is that radio or television, Rachel?
TV, television.
Yeah, but
television,
she uses
radio.
It like a radio. She says. She's not actually watching the picture. She's listening to the verbal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, except for the breakfast news, I do watch that. As you say, I like to get in, you know, short bursts as well.
Yeah.
But, as far as the rest of the day goes, I can pop in and out to the news during the day, and I generally have it on either BBC or CNN or one of the cable network shows anyway.
All right. Well, anyway, Julian and Dennis both say they agree with me that the BBC should still be in television centre. One more before we go to the break. This is another demise of yet another analogue company. Blockbuster, the latest analogue company to call in the suits, has gone down the toilet, putting more than 4,000 jobs at risk. I blame the managers, I do, honest. I really do. Where have you been in the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, listen, you're absolutely right, and it is the managers, because the managers, just like with HMV and just like with Comet, aren't really sort of keeping up with the technology. And I think, quite frankly, that we're going to find people like Currys, PC World, following the same way, unless Waterstones and the other, you know, high street booksellers can be very, very clever about what they're doing. They're going to go the same way, and I think we're looking for a totally, totally different type of high street culture. I don't know what it's like in Australia. Have you got busy high streets still?
No. The closest thing we get to Blockbuster is, I don't have a local Blockbuster near me at all anymore at all. They're very few and far between, and they're dying a slow death since the advent of, you know, internet piracy, et cetera.
Exactly. Well, going across the States, hello, Tyler. Blockbuster's been out of business for a while now, so this has actually been the plan since it was bought out by Dish. And for those that don't know, Dish is, as it name suggests, a satellite service, rather like Sky in the UK. Tyler continues, it's only a matter of time. They got too big for their own good, lots of bad decisions, and even though they had streaming, as you quite rightly said, Mark, they've never marketed it properly. By the way, I own a small independent video store, and I'm still going strong. 25 years in September. Well done, Tyler.
And by, Tyler.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, my... Go on.
Yeah?
Yeah, go on, Mark.
Well, all I was going to say was that, I mean, I was very interested to see just at the end of last year that a major British supermarket chain, Morrison's, which I think is about the only major chain which hasn't embraced online sales deliveries, suffered quite a substantial loss, quite a knockback. And in fact, they announced that they now appreciate that they should have engaged with this system of buying, the system of customer interface. They hadn't done, and they're going to review this. So I think that, you know, that was very, very significant. And I think all of these department stores, all of these retail outlets are going to have to do it. My suspicion is that within the next 2 or 3 years, the majority of these players will be off the high street. Currys finished. PG World finished. Particularly, incidentally, when we hear about the level of customer service anyway, there doesn't seem to be any much point for them to be around. I don't think they're going to be around anymore.
Right, OK. We will be coming on to more of those Christmas results later in the programme. But Tyler actually brings up a good point here. By the way, my friend, business is good. And Tyler's a broadcast colleague of ours in the US. Customer service... Over 8,500 movie titles and nearly 10,000 movies keeps me in good business. The word there is customer service. That's what we want. That's what we want. Robert's rather annoyed in more ways than one. He said, glad Blockbuster's gone. Okay. They didn't give the small independent video retailers a second thought when they started expanding all over the country. That's not quite true, Robert. If only the same would happen to Tesco. The fact is, Robert, that most of the small independent video rental companies suffered, and I've seen all the evidence of this, when the satellite movie channels started up, because people couldn't be bothered to go out and get soaking wet to get a video.
Absolutely.
No.
And today, people will buy and download or rent online because A, they haven't got to go out and get it, B, they haven't got to take it back, and C, it's cheaper.
Absolutely. I mean, have you seen Amazon? I mean, for I think about £48 now, I don't know what that is in Australian dollars, I think it'll be about double. But for about £48 a year now, you can get a subscription with Amazon, which gives you free delivery on anything you buy and also free access. Free access to a huge downloadable library of films.
Exactly.
And free access to a huge downloadable library of books to read on your Kindle. I mean, you know,
etc. Kind of we're going to have to end it there, Mark. It's the end of part one. We'll see if we can fix this line during the commercial break, boys and girls, because it's struggling a bit, and I don't know why. But we'll see if we can get a new one just after you've had that milkshake, cup of tea, or even that little bit of cup of coffee, because that's nice as well.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.